Good morning, everyone, and God's peace. I bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this fifth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of John, chapter 15. We'll be reading the first eight verses. And that's John chapter 8, or chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And would you please stand for the reading of his word? Greeting in the name of our Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that within your word are the truths that you would have us to know. So we pray that you would indeed open that word to us and allow your spirit to speak to us this morning so that we could all be more transformed and molded to the image of your Son. Amen. John's gospel is unique from the other three gospels in the fact that he takes great care to emphasize that through the writing of his gospel that he wants the people who hear it and those who read it to have faith and believe. Numerous times throughout his gospel, you can see the phrases, and he believed, or the people believed, or that ye might have faith and believe. If we were to talk, or if we were able to talk to the other apostles as well, I'm sure they would all say that if you were to read their letters and gospels, that it would be, they would wish that we would believe as well. But John takes special importance and actually writes it in his gospel that he wishes that we would all believe through the hearing of his word, of his writings. Another important thing to note is that when these gospels and letters were written in the, for the New Testament, there were no chapter and verse breaks. When a church received one of these letters from an apostle or from another church as they were being passed around, they were read in their entirety from start to finish. And during these readings, whoever was in attendance would usually stand for the entire reading. So as you can imagine, with the longer Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, these people could be standing for quite a long time, a couple of hours. Now seeing as these were continuous letters without any chapter breaks, it leads us to an interesting spot within regards to our text this morning. It appears as though in between chapters 14 and 15, there is some time that passes. If we go back to chapter 13 and read through there, and 14, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he tells them that after he departs, he's going to send the Helper unto them, and he tells them that he is the way and the truth and the life. And then he says, right in the last verse of chapter 14, "Arise, let us go hence." And then our text starts. Now, did Jesus and the disciples get up and go someplace and then he kept on teaching them? Or did some time pass in between? But what we know from the way that these were delivered and written without the chapter and verse breaks, that it appears that it is one continuous story and there was no time that passed in between the chapters. So as we start with our text this morning, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, a very familiar piece of scripture to all of us. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." It's a wonderful analogy that he uses a few times throughout his ministry and in his teaching. And it's very clear that Jesus is saying here to his disciples that while he's here on this earth, that he is the means through which life is brought to each and every one of them. Just as the vine from the grape plant would deliver the nutrients to the branches, Jesus does the same. And all life comes through him. And then he says, "My Father is the husbandman." The old English term husbandman just means that he was the vine dresser or the gardener, or the one who looks after the vineyard and works the soil. Verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit." Jesus is making it clear that his Father, being the gardener and the vine dresser, will take away all of the old growth that won't bear fruit. But he also says that those branches that do bear fruit, he's going to purge them as well and take away all of the old growth out of them. He's going to prune them so that new growth can come forth. He's going to take away all that's old so that the new can come forth. And any of us that have done some gardening know what this is all about. In the fall, after the season is done, we take the old growth from grapes or raspberries or whatever viney plants that we have. We know that the old growth has to come off so that new growth can happen in the spring, so that the nutrients and the water can get to the new parts of the plant and aren't wasted on the old parts. So it is in this way. God the Father comes in to prune and to purge all of the old growth. And this is done so that the new fruit would come forth. Now he goes on in verse 3 and says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me in the vine, no more can ye abide. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." He's telling the disciples that through his word, they are clean. And if we remember back to chapter 13, when he's washing their feet, he comes to Peter, and Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you're going to have no part with me." And then Peter comes up and says, "Okay, you can wash my feet, but also wash my hands and my head as well. Wash all of me." And Jesus tells him, the one who is washed doesn't need to bathe the whole of his body except for his feet, but is completely clean. And he goes on to tell his disciples that they are clean through his word. And in this passage, he tells them that again. They are clean through the word which he has spoken unto them. The word has pruned and purged his disciples, and they are made clean, and they are ready to bear fruit. It's not by chance that he tells them this again. He's telling his disciples that they need to remain in him, and that they need to follow him. They need to follow the directions that he's given them when they go out into the world. He tells his disciples, if you do this, if you remain in me, you will bear fruit. He tells them, your life and everything that you need will come from me, and I will give everything to you. And it's just as clear a lesson for us this morning that we need to remain in Jesus. He has everything that we need for our lives. All that we need comes from him. And he gives us everything that we need to bear fruit. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If we aren't in Jesus, we become useless. We're just taking up space on the vine and drawing off the nutrients that should be going to the branches that are bearing fruit. Then those men that work in the vineyard are going to come to take us off the vine and toss us aside into the burn pile. Now, this verse, in talking about being cast into the fire and being burned, we don't want to take that too far and automatically assume that this is what it means is going to happen at the end of the age and on the day of judgment. It could be true that that's the case, or it could not, but we have to remember that we're not told this, and we don't want to go reading too much into the verses that we're not told of what's going to happen. You know, this verse 6 could be just a good example of what takes place in gardening, that the branches that are useless get taken off and put tossed aside. The old branches aren't good for anything. And the important thing to remember here is not to concentrate on what's happening to the branches that are tossed aside. The important thing that Jesus wants his disciples to remember is that it's important that they remain in him. Because as he's told them, that's where all life comes from. Verse 7 goes on to say, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Jesus tells his disciples, whatever you need for your work on this earth in regards to the bearing fruit and gathering, I'll give you. All you have to do is ask, and I'll be glad to give it to you. As long as you're abiding in my word, anything you need, if it's going to help you with the job that I've given to you, I'm going to give it to you. And this verse here is another example of a verse that can be horribly misused, as it has been in the past couple of decades. Anyone who's heard anything about the name it and claim it gospels and the prosperity gospel, they've used this verse to help justify their actions. You know, they'll pray and they'll say, if you want a massive house or if you want a Jaguar or a Rolls Royce, all you need to do is pray for it and it'll come to you because you're God's children and he wants the best for you. And if you don't get it, then you simply didn't have enough faith. And it's just, it's kind of ridiculous. Now, if for some reason that God found it that you really did need that to perform the work that he has for you, then you'd get it. You'd get that Rolls Royce. But more often than not, if you think that you need it, you may find out that you can do the same work with an old Ford truck. And that's probably what you're going to end up getting. But God will give you everything that you need for the work that he has for you. And what's important here to realize is that everything, as long as we're part of the vine, and as long as we abide in Jesus, he'll give us everything that we need to do the job that he has for us. And our text for this morning concludes by saying, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." The word glorified here isn't really a good fit. If we go back to the original Greek, the word that's used here is edoxaste. And what it has more of a meaning of being honored. So it would be better if this verse read, "Herein is my Father honored, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." God wants the disciples to be more like Jesus, and he wants us to be more like Jesus as well. For it's when we're in him that we'll be like his disciples and that we will bear fruit. He wants us to abide in him. Now notice that in short 8 verses that we've read today, Jesus tells his disciples to abide in him 3 times. Do you think it might be a little bit important that Jesus wants his disciples to abide in him? And so it's the same and just as true for us as well. We need to abide in the Lord and be found in him so that we can do the work that he has for us. For he is the true vine, and God is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. So may we always abide in him, and he in us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come in and to gather around your word. We pray that as we leave here today, that you would help to make us ever mindful of the things that you have done for us, and that you would give us the desire and the means to abide in you. For it's in you and you alone that we have life and are able to bear fruit and to gather fruit. We pray for your continued blessings upon this congregation and for the graduates and on all of those that may be watching and listening elsewhere through the live feed. We pray that you would give unto each of us the desire to be in your word every day, and that we would have the boldness and the love to be able to share your message with those around us. We also pray this morning for the meal that has been prepared. We ask that you bless the hands that have prepared it, and we pray that it would be nourishment to our bodies as your word is nourishment to our souls. In your mighty and matchless name we pray. Amen. Now lift up your heads and hearts and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you of his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.